My name is Eric Hoffman. I'm a minister in the Swedenborgian Church, currently serving the only Swedenborgian Church in the state of Minnesota.
We were just talking a minute ago about how one would explain what the Swedenborgian Church is to someone who'd never heard of it. So for our audience who may be unfamiliar with your tradition, can you illuminate that for us?
In two words, it's rational spirituality. The name comes from a man named Emanuel Swedenborg, who lived back in, he was born in 1688 and died in 1772. And this guy was amazing. He was another Leonardo da Vinci. He had his hand in everything. He was primarily a scientist. At the age of 58, he started to turn his attention to theology. He started writing theology exclusively. And that came as the result of a question that he had asked many years before: what is the anatomical seat of the human soul? And in order to answer that question, first he assumed that there was an answer to the question, and he wouldn't give up until he found it. And he learned everything he could about anatomy and physiology. But where that led him was the idea that the human soul is not focused in any one particular part of the body, but rather is seated in the entire body. And eventually he revised that slightly to say that the human body was really a natural expression of the soul, that the soul was the higher reality, and that the body is an expression of that reality in the physical world.
So when you go into the world and you say, my faith is about rational spirituality, how can you help boil that down if someone, you know, if somebody is not familiar with Emanuel Swedenborg and his history? How would you distill what's meaningful about the faith and its core tenets?
What I would say to that is that it's a faith that's dedicated to the idea that you build your own doctrine as you travel through life and as you live consciously and deliberately and open to what community has to teach you, and develop your own spiritual practice, whatever makes sense to you, then you are led into deeper and deeper truths about yourselves and about the universe that you live in. And whatever truths you happen upon, that becomes part of you, part of your identity, part of your personal doctrine. And to the extent that you live that and you come to love the truth that you are led into, that leads you into becoming a more full human being, closer to achieving as much of the human potential as you can in this world. So that's what the Swedenborgian approach is, from my humble point of view, dedicated to. It's helping people answer the question, what is it that I really do believe in? Where do I need to grow in order to grow closer to that love and compassion and dedication to truth that we believe heaven really is?
We're in a church right now, and you have a weekly worship service here. What happens Sundays here in your church? What's a typical Swedenborgian worship service like?
At our weekly service on Sunday afternoon, first of all, we meet at, in this particular church, we meet at 11 a.m. because, you know, Swedenborgians like to sleep in a little bit. And it's fairly typical of what you might find in another mainline Christian church. There's hymns. We pray together. We open the Word on the altar first and foremost, and that's really sort of a visible ritual that we have to remind people that you know, the Word of God is a very present reality, and that it's not limited to simply the words on a page somewhere, but all of creation is an expression of the Word. And that's what we really strive to reconnect with when we get together on Sunday morning. I will never tell people what to believe from the pulpit, but in keeping with what I would really appreciate when I would go to a Sunday service, I appreciate having the freedom to choose and to think for myself. And we extend that to each and every person who comes here as well. What I do is I share ideas, insights that I've come across. I'll talk a little bit about what Emanuel Swedenborg had to say on the subject, if anything. Bring in what other faiths in the world have had to say on the subject, because the Swedenborgian Church is very much dedicated to the interfaith dialogue that's emerging in the world around us. And that's what a typical Sunday would be like. It's getting together, talking about life, and helping each other figure it out.
Can you help us understand what makes this a Christian denomination and where the Bible and the writings of Emanuel Swedenborg Certainly. Fit into your practice?
Certainly. Well, this is a Christian church. It depends on who you ask as to whether we're a Protestant or not. I mean, we're not really protesting anything. We're sort of dedicated to getting everybody together and talking to each other and building community, regardless of what their personal belief is. What makes it sort of unique among Christianity is that Swedenborg had a very, what I feel to be an enlightened view of the purpose of the written word. There is a Bible on the altar and nothing else, a couple candles. But his approach was that the biblical narrative from Genesis through Revelation actually reflects our own spiritual story, our own spiritual development. We go through a Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, etc., through Revelation. We tend to de-emphasize the epistles of Paul, so that might feel a little strange to people, and focus more on the non-Pauline narrative of the nation of Israel. We really don't hold fast to the idea that the biblical account of creation was how the world got here. I mean, I went to school, I studied zoology, and my own personal focus was evolution and taxonomy. So Swedenborgianism really doesn't have a problem with that. It's not an issue. The whole science and versus religion thing, just it's not an issue with us. But getting back to Swedenborg, we are able to sort of make the connection between the biblical narrative and our own journey in that every element of the biblical story corresponds to an element of our own story. And he maintained that wherever, say, fish appeared in the word, then that corresponded to the truths that we encounter, that we process. Fish below the water that we're not aware of, he sort of likened to the unconscious truths that we live by. And of course, the whole image of pulling fish up out of the water, you know, Jesus in his ministry to the fishermen, and cast your nets off the right side of the boat, that was an image of us bringing up truths that we were unaware of in our unconscious and making them conscious and being nourished by them. Certain elements of the word correspond to the more affectional, the more heart-centered things in our life. And as you look at the Bible and its patterns, you get a sense of your own journey. And that's why we study the Bible. So we're very much a Christian church, but one in which it's non-fundamentalist, in that the word is much broader than the word on the page. It doesn't have to be factual to be true. And that we're living the word. We are expressions of the word.
I'm curious about common misunderstandings about your faith and tradition that you encounter going out in the world. When you tell people that this is your faith tradition, what do people often get wrong about it?
People are often surprised to learn when they first encounter the Swedenborgian Church that we really have nothing to do with Sweden. I mean, it's a perfectly nice country. We have nothing against Sweden. But Emanuel Swedenborg himself was Swedish, but the denomination itself started in London back in 1789. So people are often surprised that, you know, when you come to a Swedenborgian service, we're not speaking Swedish. People are surprised to realize that it is a Christian approach to life. It's a non-threatening Christian. We don't compete with other churches. In fact, I'll often recommend that people go to other churches as part of their spiritual practice. We're not trying to convert the world into becoming Swedenborgians. We just want people to live the best life that they possibly can.
I'm wondering how you would take our listeners to the next level to understand what that means and how you live that out in your own life.
Another contribution that the Swedenborgian Church has, I think, to the spirituality of the individual is the idea that heaven and hell are not places that we have to wait to get to or something that we earn. Swedenborg wrote that heaven and hell are actually states of being that we live in the here and now. There's a very strong idea of what comes after we're through living in this physical world. I mean, we do have a spiritual life, he believed, and I believe, that extends beyond the physical. But really, your heaven is what, or your hell is what you create now, what you make a part of you. And knowing that you are living your eternity right now is a sobering idea. It really gets you examining, what is it that, what truths do I believe in? What am I living by? Am I espousing one thing and living another? What sort of ego-centered ideas am I having trouble letting go of? How is it that I am expressing heaven or hell in my daily living? Just getting people to think about that is probably one of the highest priorities we have as part of a Swedenborgian practice.
And can you say a little bit about this idea of the New Jerusalem as it's imagined or talked about in your faith and what that means?
The New Jerusalem is an important concept in Swedenborgian theology and in the life of a Swedenborgian. The idea, of course, comes from Revelation, the image of a New Jerusalem descending. And Swedenborg said that that really was not a portent of things to come. We're not really sitting around waiting for a second coming, but have a different understanding of what that's all about. The New Jerusalem is an enlightened state of being that happens in the individual. And it comes at a time when a person not only knows truth and understands truth, but lives truth and loves that truth, a time when love and truth actually dance together in our hearts and minds. That's when we can catch a glimpse of this state that we refer to as the New Jerusalem.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you think is important for people to understand about your tradition?
The Swedenborgians have a long history in this world. And even though most people haven't really heard of it, and even though it's not a very large movement, even when all the Swedenborgians in the world from all the various denominations get together, we're still pretty small. But we have a tradition of contributing to the just sort of the underlying development of our species. We really want us to achieve the potential that we were brought into being for. A lot of folks have read Swedenborg and have incorporated it into their work. One of the first Swedenborgians was a man by the name of William Blake, for instance. He was part of the very first convention in London. Thomas Jefferson was a reader of Swedenborg, and you can catch glimpses of Swedenborgian thought in the Declaration of Independence.
Can you give me an example?
The idea of a deeper sense of what liberty really means and the responsibility that comes along with that is sort of a general example of was part of his philosophy. Even though he wasn't a Swedenborgian, you might say he was sort of a sympathizer and was inspired by the works of Swedenborg. Johnny Appleseed, John Chapman, was a Swedenborgian. In addition to planting orchards all over the what was then the Northwest Territories, he brought Swedenborgian books and distributed them among the pioneer families. Helen Keller sought great inspiration from Swedenborg. Swedenborg really helped her to develop her own spirituality from her point of view. Bill W. was married to a Swedenborgian, and a lot of the 12 steps are actually inspired by Swedenborgian description of our own spiritual process, getting deeper and deeper into our own existence. Poets and artists, I mean, I could name drop for a long time, but just the idea that Swedenborg is there for everyone to do with whatever you want to do with it. I think that's part of the beauty of Swedenborg's presence in the world to this day.
And just in closing, what would you say you cherish most about your faith? We've been talking about that throughout, but just some final reflections on that, if you have any.
What I cherish most about being a Swedenborgian is the idea of spiritual freedom and the responsibility that comes along with that. We take our spirituality seriously. We don't allow anybody to hand it to us as this pretty little package. We build it through life. I appreciate the idea that I never have to be a perfect Christian or a perfect human being, but that I am in development. And as long as I continue in that covenant with the divine, as long as I continue in my commitment to be the best I can be, to live the best life that is inspired in me, then I'm going to be all right.